Megan Roberts, our Director of Recreation, come forward. Under 12.1, we have a Community Recreation Assistance Program request, Native Council of Nova Scotia. Who would like to take the lead on 12.1? Councilor Frelick?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give approval from the Community Recreation Assistance Program of $500 to the Native Council of Nova Scotia, Queens County Zone 9, for assistance in celebrating National Indigenous Peoples Day on June 21st, 2018. And that is to be funded from the Community Grants and Program budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Thank you for that, Councilor Fancy. Megan, would you like to just briefly on this?
I don't have a lot of voice, so bear with me. So we received this request from the Native Council of Nova Scotia, Queens Zone 9, and I've been working with Diane Warner. It's the third year for this specific event, but this year they'd like to make it bigger, and their plan is to involve the schools. So they're arranging with the school administrators to have the children bused at different times throughout the day to come down and participate in the event and to learn and to make it part of their curriculum. So the hope is that they're going to talk about the things they're going to learn in school before they come down, and then they're going to participate in them. So I think it's a wonderful event, and I'm happy that we're able to hopefully support them in growing and making this celebration even bigger.
Any councillor have a question or comment? Councillor Fancy?
I think it's great. I mean, it's fantastic what they're doing. I just always like to make sure it falls under our criteria, though, for funding. just come back with some complications, but it does.
Yes, yep. Yep, so under the criteria, if part of it is to enhance or develop the program beyond what it was, then it falls under that. So,
also, yep. So it's for something new. So
it can be for something new, or it can be to enhancements of a current program. So this year they're looking to bring the schools down to participate in it. So it falls under it that way.
Okay. I've attended this, and I think several other people in the past, like White Point Road. Wonderful. I mean, they put a lot of effort in it, and I learned a lot from their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the food was great.
Yes.
You know, it's a wonderful event, and I encourage anyone else to attend from the public's perspective.
Absolutely, yep.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you. We are now moving on to 12.2, Facility Development Assistance Program. And I would ask Deputy Mayor McLeod if she would like to take my chair. I'd like to declare a conflict of interest.
On the agenda, and when I call for someone to make a recommendation, it's on the last page. Councilor Fisk?
That the Council of Leisure Queens Municipality approved the following Facilities Development Association grants for 2018-2019 to be funded from the Community Grants and Program Budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department. Major category: Milton Canoe and Camera Club, $5,000. Regular category: Queens County Fair Association, $1,250. Second, North Brookfield Community Hall, $1,100. Queens County Soccer Association, $950. Queens Archery Association, $900. Hollow Log Rifle and Pistol Association, $800, for a total of $10,000.
Do you have a second? It's been seconded by Councilor Fancy. Are there any questions or comments? Councilor Kelly?
I just wanted to clarify the rules of our policies or our grant policies. Is there anything that says you can't apply for that can't apply for more than one in 1 year. And I say that because the Queens County Fair Association received grants to organizations, did they not? And now they're applying for this. So we don't have a rule like that?
We do for some grants and not for others, but not specifically for this one. So it's the major one. If they were to receive a major, they're not able to receive any other RQM grants during that budget year.
Right.
But for other ones, we don't. So our hope is in this coming year when we're doing our policy review that we put into place things such as that. Yep.
Okay, so
yep.
they can actually apply to
mm-hmm.
this grant and still receive the grants to organizations because this is like a minor one.
Correct.
Okay.
And when we were doing our grants to organizations, we had taken into account that, because I knew at that time that they had applied for this too,
right.
So we took that into account in the final amount that they got. This one is specifically for facility development,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one was more for their operating mm-hmm. costs
okay.
For the year.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm really glad, especially with the canoe and camera club, because they're just starting up there. If people were up on the west side
yeah.
of the river, you'd see the cement area that they're getting ready to develop and hopefully have a building up there this year. I mean, this is fantastic for our area, especially for my area where I live in Milton. Again, as what we had said, that this community and development grant, the $5,000, which is the major category, if you get it 1 year, you can't get it the next.
The next two budget years.
The next 2 years,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. So the others is the $2,500, and of course that's all divided among percentage-wise to be able to see what the request was.
Correct.
And as what we said here with North Queens, since it's a community and development grant, it has to be different from the grant that they applied for over here. So they can get it. They have to apply in a different way for a different thing.
Correct. Yeah.
Any other comments?
Question.
All those in favor?
Me.
Unanimous with the mayor taking a conflict of interest. So I'm going to ask the mayor to come back in. Anybody? He should be here.
Are we ready to continue?
Yes.
So the next item is 13.0 planning, 13.1. We have rezoning municipal lands, Kazan Street and Brunswick Street, Liverpool, the former Gorham School property. We have a recommendation. Who would like to take the lead? Councillor Kelly?
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt a bylaw respecting the rezoning of PIDs 7001-8296, 7002-8006, 7001-8817, 7024-6061, and 7024-6079 to Municipal Unit Residential R3.
Second, Councillor Hughes. Mike, would you like to
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I guess the five parcels in question are what's known as the former Gorham School lands on the corner of Brunswick and Pezant Street in Liverpool. Last year, council took the initiative to market these lands for for sale, for commercial sale through through real estate. Turner Drake was engaged to market the parcels. Back in January of 2018, council received and approved a agreement of purchase and sale for the sale of these five parcels of land for the intention of the development of a multiple unit residential housing development. The properties, two of the parcels are currently zoned as restricted residential R1, while the remaining three are zoned as institutional I1 under the land use bylaw. So in order to facilitate the multiple unit residential development on the sites, that the rezoning to the multiple unit residential R3 would be required. The purchaser has requested of council to initiate the process to have the parcels rezoned to the multiple unit residential R3. We had the public hearing this morning. It was discussed that the intent of the developer or the purchaser of the lands is to have a phased development, multiple unit residential development, with row house style development initially as phase one on the Brunswick Street side of the properties. Phase two would be an apartment building with 26 plus units on what would be the former footing or foundation of the Gorham School. And as a potential phase three, the upper lands to the rear of the property, there's a potential for additional housing units around the perimeter of that around that property. The site plan has been submitted by the proposed developer of the site, which is at the back and has been included in the package for the public hearing this morning. So in order to facilitate the development, the rezoning to R3 is required.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments of councilors on this item? Deputy Mayor McCarthy.
You can see my hand going up.
Mike, all the way up.
Mike, I have a question, and I know we discussed this at the Planning Advisory Committee, and that is the aspect of the sidewalks. And I looked through the policy 12.5.2 that we have in our planning documents, and it doesn't mention, and unless I've missed it somewhere, about sidewalks. It mentions buffer areas, it mentions road networks and that sort of thing. So does sidewalks fit into the road network, or is that something that just came up from the thoughts of the existing sidewalks there and how they were going to be upgraded?
Well, I guess the conversation around planning advisory committees was suitable sidewalks to facilitate the new residential development and the increase in people that will be in the area. Currently, there are sidewalks on both Brunswick Street and Pezant Street, albeit they're asphalt sidewalks as opposed to the typical concrete sidewalks we would have. So there is presently sidewalks in the area. And I guess the question was around responsibility for costs of upgrading or improving sidewalks that currently exist. So typically council has part of their ongoing capital improvements budgets money for improvements or replacements of sidewalk, street infrastructure, whatever. So there is no policy or regulation within our municipal planning strategy or land use bylaw which requires a developer to pay for the cost of infrastructure improvements as part of their development. Now, whether that's something that council wishes to consider under the MPS and LUB review, that certainly would be up to council at the time. But there's no requirement under existing policy for a developer to install or improve sidewalk infrastructure. So
that wouldn't be a requirement under this agreement?
No, and I guess it's always been the intention that these lands were marketed for multiple unit residential housing development, and we proceeded to, with the purchase and sale based on that intent. So,
yeah. The reason I'm asking is that, developers go into a real financial responsibility to build these developments, and I really wouldn't want anything there to be an extra financial hardship among them because, for that purpose. So
Counselor? Counselor Kelly?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. This is a piece of, large piece of land. It's in District 2, and it's in my district, and I know that as a council, we decided to sell this piece of property, and we're hoping that we would get a developer in for housing, and it's much needed housing, and it's a various levels of housing to satisfy a number of different populations, and has the ability to attract population to our area, which is one of our key strategic priorities, is to grow our population, and I think this is necessary. I have every faith in what I've read through Planning Advisory Committee about the developers of this piece of property and what they intend to do. I know we've taken steps to ensure that once we sell a piece of property and to ensure that the contractors move forward with their intentions on what they're going to build on that property, and making sure that they do take those steps within a reasonable amount of time to build those. And I just want to make a comment this time that, you know, it's a wonderful development, and I see as the pictures there, like, it just has so much potential, and I truly hope that the scope of the project, because I know it's huge, that the developers carry through and keep to their word and their intentions and good intentions to actually complete this project, and because if they do, it'll be a wonderful thing for our community.
Councilor Kelly?
Just a reminder again, when does the property close?
May 31st, on or before May 31st.
Any other councilman? Councilor Fancy?
The one concern to me would be, in particular, would be the beginning where, I think, what do you call it, row housing? I think what it is.
Rose Town,
yeah,
townhouse style. That's,
so
yeah.
That we don't look back at 20, 30 years from now and see the same development which is happening. But as Bruce Smith had brought forward here this morning, that the houses get run down and they get into that type of despair, so to speak. Because we don't want to create that in town. We want to be able to look at this vibrant town we're trying to. The one thing I know with South Shore Housing is trying to get rental control, some things are, that we can then make sure things are kept up to a certain standard. So with that, I can be more comfortable in that, because I know Ruth had that concern, and which is rightfully so. She's living in the area, and the houses starting to run down, that we're going to look at that, you know, get something new, and all of a sudden, 10 years down the road, we're looking at the same type of issue. So I think with maybe new regulations and such, but maybe that can maybe offset that.
Thank you. Any other councilor? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I commend the applicants for this proposed development. It's a very ambitious one, and as we all know, and I'll reiterate, it's a very much needed housing stock that we need in our community, and I wish them the best.
Thank you. Any other councilor have a comment on this issue this morning? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? We have 6-1. It does pass. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Under 14.0 reports, we have removed earlier today the North Queens Council for Public Consultation. We'll appear at a future meeting. We have added this morning as well municipal report on financial condition indicators, results, and I'll ask our Director of Finance, Jennifer Hughes, if she would come to the presentation desk.
Took a lot of ink, so the entire back page is blue.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary, yeah.
It does match your dress.
That's how I was thinking. The blue and white.
Not intended at all, but there you go.
I'm afraid you have to go to the mess.
Yeah, right?
And she wore the proper shoes on finance budget day as well.
Yes, that's right. It's just, it's all a fluke.
So I'd ask Jennifer to give us an overview on this report if you would.
So I think what I'll do is, much of it is just sort of background and detail and explanation. The main point or the highlight of the report is the little chart for you. So actually our FCIs in the form of a little house there. They made a couple of changes. I mean, we've talked about these each year. We had a few red marks in years past. We don't have any red marks this year, so I mean that's the main highlight of this year's FCIs. Uncollected taxes was kind of our big thing over the years. We also had a bit of an issue with the 3-year change in tax base, so the assessment values from PVSC on which we base our tax rate calculations. The change in those and the threshold, meeting the threshold for the change in that 3-year increasing value in our assessment and our assessment value basis. We had been red on for a while. Now we are green on that this year. We had a lot of sales. There was a lot of movement. There were a lot of properties were selling this past year and the year before. And that releases the capped value. The year before last, we didn't gain as much as we had hoped. The release of that cap value, unfortunately, the market values coming up in the background were less than that cap value had been retained, but I expect to see an increase in our assessment values this next year going forward, because again, we had a lot of sales, we had a lot of property movement, a lot of real estate movement, and the cap values were again released, but the market values have started to pick back up a little bit, so that was helpful. The other indicator that they have removed from this report is the commercial tax base and the burden that a commercial tax base or not having an adequate commercial tax base puts on your residents. They've removed that indicator from this completely. So it was not a huge factor for us. It was not a problem indicator for us, but there were a number of municipalities who their commercial tax base was, according to the threshold that set by the province, it wasn't meeting that threshold, so it was looking like it was more of a burden on the residents than it could have been. Debt service indicator, they've made a little bit of a change in the calculation of that. So if you look at our chart, the financial condition indicators graph, as I said, that page there, our reliance on government transfers. Again, we've met the threshold. All of these are green, except for our one yellow. So we have met the threshold, and that reliance on government transfers, that's mainly our reliance on equalization grant money. Deficits in the last 5 years, that's self-explanatory. We've not booked any. Combined reserve, that's, we contribute to our reserves on a regular basis. We budget to contribute to our reserves on a regular basis, and this is a combination of our capital and our operating reserves together. It allows for us in future years when we are doing, like for instance, equipment replacement, that we don't have to borrow, so we don't have that additional cost for interest because we do have healthy reserves leading up to and contributing towards those replacements. Our liquidity, that is, as it is in business, your short-term operating assets divided by your operating liabilities, so our liquidity level was good. Again, always allowing for that, preparing for that rainy day. 5-year budget accuracy, I think that's self-explanatory. And our operating reserves, again, we have a number of operating reserves, and for instance, our sewer operating reserve is what we will use towards our contributions and our principal and interest repayment, for instance, for school in Main Street, that project having just finished last year, us having to borrow our 25% because of the Clean Water Wastewater Fund, contributing 50% from the feds and 25% from the province. Our 25% cannot be our gas taxes, as we had done in past years quite often for our sewer and water projects. We had used our gas tax reserves, and we can't combine two federal sources. So our borrowing for our 25% of those two projects, that principal and interest will be fully funded by this sewer reserve. And again, we contribute to that sewer reserve as a user pay. So our sewer costs and our revenues are offset, and there's no tax rate implications from running that sewer utility. Outstanding operating debt, that's again our principal that's outstanding divided by uniform assessment, and our principal repayments right now are so low. Our debt ratio is very low right now, and our principal repayments are very low right now. And so as a percentage of, or as a calculation using our uniform assessment, that number is coming out to a zero, so it's quite low. Our uncollected taxes, and again, that when these indicators first came out back in 11-12, we realized that we did have considerable amount of taxes outstanding, a considerable amount of uncollected taxes. And so we had started the year before noticing that number had been getting quite high. And when you put it in the perspective of comparing it to everyone else and comparing it to that threshold that was set by the province, it was kind of a bit of a kick when you noticed how high that number actually was. So we did begin some more aggressive collections on our taxes at that time. So it's been a number where the indicators had come out 2 years lag. We spent a couple of years catching up. So we had a couple of years we were in the 15% range for uncollected taxes. We did manage the year before last to bring it down to 14%. And now last year we actually finished at 12.6%. So we're certainly moving in the right direction. And I know we've talked about that number being much lower and wanting that number to be much lower. We've become more aggressive on our tax sales. We've become more aggressive on our payment arrangements while still compromising and working with residents and those who, you know, seniors and long-term in their homes. And so we are definitely compromising on our payment arrangements still so as not to create any undue hardship, of course. But in the other sense, we're also being much, much more aggressive than we would have been in the past. So we're hoping to move that 12.6, and I believe we talked about 7.5, and somebody put that in writing when I said it out loud a day here a few months ago. I wouldn't have put that number in writing, but we are absolutely working towards that number, and that is always our goal, to lower that amount. So it's nice to see that it's yellow this time around and that we're actually not in the red, and some of these thresholds and indicators have moved a little bit more leniently for everyone, and we're not being compared constantly to an average as well, because again, an amalgamated unit with a former town and a county combined, it's difficult to compare us to either a county or a town. So that average indicator was, you know, it was causing a bit of confusion and misunderstanding, because it's definitely difficult to compare us to either. But again, we're that reliance on a single business institution, and we have been green on that for a couple of years, for a number of years. It hasn't been a red indicator, and a lot of people expected when Bowater or Resolute Forest Products closed that was our reliance and that was going to create a red indicator for us. But actually, in our case, our reliance on a single business, our largest business contributing towards our tax, is the Nova Scotia Power properties, so the dams and the hydro in our area. So that's Nova Scotia Power is actually our largest, so that maintains that for us. Although it is a grant in lieu and I don't actually bill them a tax rate, it's still our largest contributor commercial-wise in our tax revenue. 3-year change in tax rates, I mentioned that before. We had been red for a little bit, and now we have improved in our tax base, yes, but the threshold and the comparison for that number has become more lenient as well, so we've caught up that way. Any questions?
Thank you, Jennifer. Any questions? Councillors? Councillor
Fancy? I think that's great, and I've been to some of those meetings where you see some people who are in reds.
Lots of reds,
lots,
yeah.
Lots in reds. So when you're looking at just as Queens, we don't understand what other people are going through. Some people are going through very, very difficult times trying to make Steve Ellis doing a great job. And again, if I'm not mistaken, I think the uncollected taxes used to be around 16-17% or something like that?
It was probably 16-ish, but when the financial indicators first came out, we were in the 15% range, 15.5, 15.7. Yeah, so, and then we brought it down to 14 the year before last, and then this 12.6 in this current year that's being indicated now. So,
so that's fair.
Right direction.
Yeah. The one, the, when I look over the key indicators trends, not trying to say we got this much money kicking around or anything like this on page
the surpluses,
five. Yeah, it does show, though, that we're doing so much better.
The key to this indicator is that you're not booking deficits and that you are budgeting to a reasonable accuracy and not finding yourself behind the eight ball at the end of the year with a deficit that then has to be funded in the future budget. So we haven't been booking deficits. We haven't booked deficits as long as I've been here. And we are very, very careful, conservative, yes, but careful when we're creating our budgets each year. So budget accuracy has a lot to do with that. There are things that come up during the year that you can't predict, obviously, but that is what contributed to our larger surplus the year before was the de-transfer tax. But then again, that's a good news story because it means that properties were moving, houses were selling, and values were coming up. So
I just don't want somebody to look at that and say, well, we got $236,000 to spend. What are we going to do with it?
And in on a $19 million budget, $236,000 is not a huge number, but it's easily attributed to that de-transfer tax. So.
Okay.
Any other counselor have a comment or a question? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I'm just looking at the population trends here and the population of aging Queens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an indicator there that, you know, we have to, and we're trying the best we can to accommodate the aging population, but should be an opportunity.
It's interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you get to nearly 18-19% of our age are between the age of 60 and 69. Is that how I'm reading that?
And see, that's what happened when you look at StatsCan. So we had been looking at the FCIs and the StatsCan from 5 years ago, and it was just this past year updated. So we knew from that our population had decreased. I think we'd gone from 10.9 to about 10.3. And we had increased in that age 60 plus population. So the seniors portion of that population had increased, and then the younger had decreased. And,
so that
employment, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cause and effect.
Any other counselor? Counselor Kelly?
What is the, for the uncollected taxes, 12.6, what is that number?
It's a percentage that is outstanding in your receivables for the taxes of the current year's billings.
Yeah, what is the dollar figure?
1.1 million? 1.2 million?
So $1.1 million in taxes that have been uncollected in the past year.
And includes previous years.
All the previous years.
So it's the total outstanding.
Right.
And some of ours date back, you know, 4, 5, and 6 years. So it's the total outstanding of, as a percentage of the current year's billings. So it's kind of a cash flow a calculation. So it's not based on the total percentage of each of those years that are outstanding that were billed. It's a percentage of just that current year's billings that went out in the mail. And it has multiple years and arrears in it.
Right, and does that include interest that's been piling on
it
those
does.
Arrears? Okay. How long, like, do we ever write off taxes? Taxes are owed forever.
We don't write off.
We can't write them off. So
it might be something we look at in the future, and I had that a brief discussion with the CAO around that write-off piece. We do have some accounts outstanding that, you know, we have unknown addresses or we have no contact information, or this past year, 2 years probably, I've been working with the tax clerk, and I've had 3 different tax clerks in the last 2 years, but working with the tax clerk on trying to locate those properties where there is no contact information, the description is poor. I've managed through PBSC and Land Registry to determine that those properties and the boundaries thereof actually don't even exist, and so that we shouldn't have been billing them all along. So we do write off those ones once it's proven that it actually doesn't exist or it's overlapped with another property.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Any other counselor? Well, thank you, Jennifer, for the presentation. Very
sure. Anytime.
And so, Mr. Chairman, this was released today on the province's website, so I expect there'll be some media coverage across the province from different media sources if they come online. So if you go on the province's website under municipal affairs, or it might even be on the main page for the province of Nova Scotia, there should be a link there that'll list, and you can look at every one in the province. And obviously, we only have one yellow, so we're at the top of the heap. And there are still a bunch on the list that are still grants on. But it is a public document that is on the province's website as of this morning.
That takes us to the next item. We added this morning the fact that we have a lack of business for the committee of the whole meeting next week, and we were seeking permission from council to suspend the committee of the whole meeting for May 15th. I'd like to have consensus on that. Is there any discussion first? Do we have consensus to suspend that meeting on the committee of the whole? Thank you. We do have unanimous consensus. So we will notify that committee of the whole will not exist next week. Thank you for that. That brings us to the end of our open council agenda items today. I would ask for a motion to go in camera at this point in time. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. We are now in camera, and I will call a 10-minute recess.